I'm so appalled, spawning ball, bald and Donald Trump taking dollars from y'all. Baby, you're fire, your girlfriend higher. But if you don't mind, I'ma keep you on call. We a but a law, we don't give a fuck about y'all. I got dogs that'll chew a fucking hole through the wall. But since they all love us, I need more rubbers. And if I don't use rubbers, need
welcome to this episode of The Peas in the Podcast, where we discuss trends and provide commentary on media and social justice issues, as well as our own personal life experiences. The podcast is hosted by Starlisha, Jameer, and Daphne. The pods are the articles and stories that are abuzz, and the peas are our own thoughts and takes on those concepts.
All right. On this day in history, on May 5th, 1905, the influential black newspaper, the Chicago Defender, was founded by Robert S. Abbott. The paper was the first African-American publication to have a circulation of over 100,000. And since then, there have been a lot of different influential black publications, including, I think it's the Atlanta Star Tribune, which, and they were founded, I think, in 1928 or 38 by a black man. And they're mostly online now, but you can pick up copies, like hard copies of the newspaper in the Atlanta airport, which I think is really cool. And I think they're the parent company of The Root as well, which I did this research weeks and weeks ago. But because like newspapers have kind of died out, you know, but they kind of swapped to a bigger online presence. And I believe they're the parent company of The Root. I will either correct that next week or we'll fix it in the episode description if that's not correct. But support black newspapers. Mm-hmm. Read things online. It's great.
Nice. So moving right into global perspective. Oh, man, I know that they are leaders of the world and stuff, but I'm going to say these names wrong. And God forgive me. Everyone forgive me. So, Kim Jong-un and Moon Jae-in have decided to come to an agreement of denuclearization and end the Korean War.
They did it.
Yay! Right?
Yeah.
Sings Dora Explorer, we did it. So basically, North and South Korea have ended a long-time divide and are kicking it to the curb. This is not, however, the first time an agreement such as this has come to pass. Yet many are once again hopeful this one will succeed. Agent Orange has sent out his congratulations to both countries after having threatened war should North Korea not agree to disarm themselves. Why do I get that eerie feeling that Trump is going to fuck something up during this to be scheduled meeting with Kim? Many are hopeful that Moon and Kim will stick to their guns, well, not literally, and denuclearize. However, there are a few roadblocks that could have the entire operation go up in smoke. Okay, I really have to stop speaking and using idioms, but actually that's pretty much all I have left on global perspective. You can check out the article in which provides a lot more detail than I'm giving right now. It's called Two Koreas Agree to End War This Year, Pursue Denuclearization by Kanga Khan and Andy Sharp on Bloomberg.com. So we are moving on to the reason you all came here.
Okay, well, today's episode will be functioning to solely discuss the man, the myth, the legend that is known as Kanye West. So buckle your seatbelts because this might be a bumpy ride. Okay, so the first article I looked at was U.S. magazines. So U.S. magazine on their celebrity news section, they talked about how Kanye West pretty much exposed John Legend for like texting him or whatever. And like how Kanye West released two songs with one by itself, the Poop song, and Kanye versus the World with T.I. You didn't hear Poop
the
Diddy
Poop song? What?
Little Poop Scoop, Poop Diddy Poop. It was something like that.
Huh?
Okay. He released that song to troll everybody. You know he did. Because you know the type of person Kanye is. But okay. Now, we can't call this a podcast about social commentary and not talk about how Yeezy done left us in the still waters. So recently, he's gone off a new series of rants, some good and some bad. The good being more on the lines of inspirational quotes. You know, the kinds that are too long for Instagram captions but long enough to be phone lock screens. Everyone was happy. Everyone was happy that Yeezy, like, he came back on Twitter, but then he started talking about Trump and Make America Great Again. It's really odd because while he's talking about Make America Great Again, he tweets at Emma Gonzalez from the Parkland, from the, like, the Parkland shooting, and he calls her, like, his hero.
Yeah.
And then he has one tweet where he states, I haven't done enough research on conservatives to call myself or be called one. I'm just refusing to be enslaved by monolithic thought. And then, like, he gets on TMZ.
Oh, yay.
And he pretty much says that, like, black people, well, in a roundabout way, we chose to be enslaved for 400 years. And, like, one of the guys from TMZ, like, I think his name is Van, the black guy, he, like, puts him in his place. But, like, it's still the fact that, like, he showed up to TMZ irrational like that. Did you guys see the video?
Oh, yay.
It was okay.
I did see it. I did not watch that video. I can't do it.
I got secondhand, like, embarrassment. Like, you know how, like, when you watch a show and, like, the character that you're following does some weird goofy shit and you're just like, oh my god, this is raising my anxiety level? That's what I felt watching that, the entire thing.
It was bad.
And I just...
And not only that, so you know how the Kardashians are very, very liberal? So, like, people started, like, mentioning Kim. They were like, are you seriously going to let him tweet like this on Twitter? And she's like, my husband has his own views, and y'all should respect that. And blah, 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 blah. So I'm like, damn, like, we got to the point where, like, Kim Kardashian has to be, like, his ambassador. And then when Kris Jenner got on Ellen DeGeneres, she did the same thing. She was like, yeah, because, you know, Kanye is a very, like, you know, he's an artist. So, like, he looks at the world in a different way. I'm like, now, look. But he did actually go on Twitter, and he kind of, like, refuted what he said about slavery. He said that he was referring more to, like, mental enslavement. And in that regard, I'm not going to say that I totally... Like, it seemed like he was, like, reaching for the stars after, like, when you know you done fucked up, and you're like, wait a minute, that's not what I said. So he pretty much was saying that, like, well, okay, like, I'm not going to try to make the argument for him because he didn't really articulate this himself, but, like, in a roundabout way, even if we look at civil rights, right, only 10% of the African-American population was actively protesting for civil rights. The other 90%, they were, I don't want to say they were, like, subservient or they were just, like, subsisting, but they weren't doing anything radical to go against the social norms. They pretty much had just accepted that this was the way that things are. But I also think that it's important to note, why wouldn't these people believe that? For hundreds of years, they've been oppressed, and then they've been getting little freedoms here and there, and those freedoms have been taken away. So why wouldn't they feel like, why wouldn't they feel like there's no point in trying to go against the hegemony of white supremacy?
Well, I think with that, more or less, not looking at the context of civil rights, where that's a little bit further than slavery, I saw his tweet about, I wasn't talking about them basically being in bondage and shackled. I was referring more to the mental enslavement. The reality is, there were like 300 slave revolts on the daily. And it wasn't just some, like, there was only Nat Turner. No, like, black people were like, this shit I am done with, and we are coming and we are burning down your buildings. We are fucking up your towns. We don't care because this is an injustice to us. Not only that, you have people like Harriet Tubman and Sojourner Truth and Frederick Douglass and all these big black political figures who are saying, we're going to take this matter into our own hands and go about it. Now, granted, I think it was Harriet Tubman who says, I could have freed a lot more slaves had they known they were slaves.
Oh, he uses that.
Now,
quote.
Granted, there's always going to be people who don't follow the pack. In particular, Kanye. Not all black people have to be liberal Democrats. They don't. But the reality is, you live in a space where there are black people today who can say, oh, I've never felt racism. It may not be true, but it's their own reality. And that's the same way with slavery. Some people are like, oh, I'm not a slave. Massa lets me in the house. Like, you build your own reality sometimes. And I don't feel that Kanye has enough of the education, or I don't even want to say he doesn't have the access to education, because the dude could probably buy at least 17 damn degrees. Maybe like 6, because Harvard's prices are going up every damn day. But I'm just saying that he has the access to education. It's more or less the need to know, where, like, out of sight, out of mind. If Africana studies or understanding black issues isn't in his daily repertoire or whatever of what he's doing, there's no point to go further to educate, to understand those things. And I think right now we're at a point where, for Kanye, he's saying the stuff that he's learning. Like, there's a saying, and it's like, your inability to plan is not my urgency, or is not my emergency, which is mostly like, Kanye is just now stepping up to the plate and we're all already on third base. And to him, it's like, God, did you know what swinging a bat feels like? Do you know what hitting a ball feels like? And we're all like, Kanye, we're all on third base. Like, we've gone through this already. And I think there's a little bit of divide where it's like, yeah, some people are like, haha, let's take jabs at Kanye. But the reality of who Kanye is, his own discoveries, he thinks are everyone's discoveries.
Wait, all right, he has this one tweet. He says, if your friend jumps off a bridge, you don't have to do the same. Ye is being ye. Ye being ye is a fight for you to be you. For the people in my life, the idea of Trump is pretty much a 50-50 split. But I don't tell a Hillary supporter to not support Hillary. So I do agree, like, he, in a roundabout way, like, I think he does believe that in, like, finding his own voice and telling, and, like, sharing his thoughts, that he is hopefully trying to make the world more willing to share their thoughts. And I do agree in some ways.
I think, I don't know. I understand that. I just feel as though to put on directly to Kanye as the person who made people think is just,
yeah,
out of this
too.
World to me. And even though he says it, a lot with the whole Trump thing, where he's like, well, Trump was shaking up the pot. Trump. I'm making up words for this man. I don't even care anymore. Where he says, like, Trump is now the reason that people are going out and voting. People are getting interested in politics. People are now doing things. Yes, because it's literally a means of life or death at this point. You have somebody who is able to literally adjust the laws and break apart whole families. Kanye is not the reason that people are speaking up or speaking out. Now, granted, we as people do love the status quo. But that doesn't mean that you have to disrupt the status quo. If it's not broke, don't fix it. Mm-hmm. If people want to be followers, they're allowed to be followers. If people want to be leaders, they're allowed to be leaders. There's no, I hate this phrase, and I wish too many Native Americans, not enough chiefs. I don't know what another way to rephrase that. But not everybody's,
yeah, everybody
supposed
ain't
to lead.
Gonna be,
if we're all,
yeah, like,
leading,
I was having a discussion about someone else. Everyone is not gonna be. Everybody's not gonna be Rodney King. Everybody's not gonna be Sojourner Truth or Martin. Like, we, you know, sometimes you gotta know. You gotta know.
And
that.
That's the thing. And we talked about this in my Black Lives Matter class senior year with Peterson. The reality is, everybody wants to jump on the bandwagon and be like, oh, I would do this, and I would say that, and I would have never been enslaved, and I would have this. And I even remember in high school, I said this to my AP history teacher. I was like, yo, why are all these black people still in bondage? Like, I would have rose up. I would have smacked somebody. I would have never. And he looked at me, white dude. And he looked at me and he was like, no, you wouldn't. You're indoctrinated to believe that this is just the way things are. And that one day Jesus Christ is going to come and save you. And one day it Wait, might so would all you say change. That's
mental slavery?
He goes, he says, it is, but this, but let me finish. He says, like, the reality is for most people, and not even I was going to say just most, but the reality is when you start to fall into a system of things, you learn how the flow works. Granted, you can rebel against those things, but you have to also be in the space, and this is where I'm bringing in the whole Black Lives Matter topic. You have to also be in the space to be able to give up. If I was a slave and I was told, oh, you're going to get beat every day if you don't do X, Y, Z, and you have to do this. And I've been doing this for all this time, and now I'm getting irritated. I'm getting angry. I'm getting annoyed, and I want to rebel, and I want to revolt. And then I look over, and I have two small kids who can't run that fast, who can't hide in the bushes, who can't be quiet as we're trying to escape. Those are things you have to think about. Even today, when we want to get up and say to our coworkers or the people that we're with, that's racism and that's hurting me and that's a problem.
You still need to check.
The minute a white person turns around and goes, well, I'm the victim, suddenly you're jobless. And now you're looking like, well, I was just supposed to be supporting my mom and my dad, and now I can't do that, and they're going to lose their house. People have to understand that we are not making Kanye money. We are not going bankrupt and having Kim Kardashian put $50 million in our bank account when we say what's on our mind. And that, and I love Charlamagne the God for saying this, that's rich nigga shit. Everything you're saying, Kanye, is rich nigga shit. You're allowed to do that. You are in the space to do that. And it's not to say, like, don't speak your mind. No, we're not saying don't do that. What we're saying is it's rich nigga shit. And not everybody has access to do that. Me, personally, I don't have kids. I'm not married. The only person that I really have to make sure is okay with the things that I do or anything I do is probably my mom. Because she's going to be the one that's like, oh my God, what's happening with my kid? And freaking out and panicking. But the reality is I can go out and do whatever the hell I want. If I want to protest in the streets, I can do that. If I want to take down a corporation, I can do that. If I want to bash white people all day long, I can do that. I have nobody depending on me to behave in a way that they need. And especially for Kanye West, his money alone, his brand of Kanye West alone allows him to do that. We're not even talking about when Northwest turns 18 and people are like, you know, your dad's crazy, right? It's like, oh my God, like she's known this man her whole life. She knows who her dad is. But then everything that you're saying you do is now a reflection on the things that she hears about you or the things that she's going to have to deal with. And it's like, Kanye, man, just pick up a book. It's not even that, like, he shouldn't have spoke before he picked up a book. He didn't know. I personally just don't feel like he knew. But I feel like now that we're talking about it and we're saying these things, go pick that book up. And if you don't pick that book up, I'm coming for that ass. Because you no longer have an excuse to be ignorant.
So I was just going to read some of the lyrics from his from the song he made with T.I. So it was pretty much like a call and response thing where T.I. is pretty much attacking, but he's questioning Kanye for like a lot of his choices and stuff and a lot of the things he said. And then Kanye pretty much starts off saying, "Make America Great Again," and had a negative reception. I took it, wore it, rocked it, and gave it a new direction. I added empathy, care and love and affection, and y'all simply questioning my methods. You think I ain't concerned about how it affect the past? I mean, the hat stayed in my closet for almost a year and a half. The one day I was like, fuck it, I'ma do me. I was in a sunken place and then I found a new me. Not worried about some image that I gotta keep up. A lot of people agree with me, but they're so scared to speak up. But then so when he first like started going a little left on Twitter, right? Chance the Rapper said something. Like, he pretty much was like, all black people don't have to be liberal or don't have to be Democrats.
No, all his tweet said was black people don't have to be Democrats.
People got so upset. And I'm like, well, at the end of the day, we really don't. You know what I'm saying? People died for us, they had a right to vote. So, like, if at the end of the day you think that, well, at first, I would never waste my vote on Trump. But, like, at the end of the day, if you think that that's who's best to represent you, I guess, like, I think your ancestors are turning in their graves, but, like, at least you voted.
I'll say it, like, I was a registered Democrat for 10 years, which is insane. Like, literally, when I turned 18, I was a registered Democrat, and I only switched party affiliation when I turned 28, or after I turned 28, because Pennsylvania is a closed primary state. So if you want to...
So wait, now you're a Republican?
Oh, no, sorry. I was a registered Republican. What did I say?
You said you were a registered Democrat.
I was a registered Republican for a decade, from 18 to 28. And then the only reason I switched was because Pennsylvania is a closed primary state. And one of my dear friends was running for city council under the Democratic ticket. So I switched affiliation. You can't go independent during primaries either in Pennsylvania. Yeah. And I was like, is this the day where I disappoint my mother, like, to the fullest extent? Am I, like, letting down my conservative? And then she and I talked about it because I told her, I was like, hey, just a heads up, because I'm, like, working on my friend's campaign and, like, he's running under the Democratic ticket. Like, I had to switch. And she was like, yeah, I get it. Like, it's fine. And I was thinking about it and I was like, what are there more? And this is a question for you guys, if you know the answer. Just take an educated guess, I guess. Do you think that more black people are registered Democrats or registered independent?
It's definitely Democrat, but I was a registered independent recently. Because I'm involved with... Wait, what are you
registered? I'm not registered. I don't think I've registered. I don't even think I picked a party, to be honest.
So are you independent?
I think yeah. I am.
Right.
Yeah, I am. I actually am.
And that's the thing we have to remember about Chance's tweets. Yeah, sure, every black person doesn't have to be a Democrat, because people are going to be racist on both sides of the aisle. It's just going to look differently. Mm-hmm.
Facts. Big facts.
Like, big facts. Deal. I mean, when you boil it down to individualism and how you are going to be affected by certain congressional law, it is a big deal. But in the grand scheme of things, black people are always going to be niggas to some people. It, like, they don't care. Congress doesn't care if a black woman is a registered Democrat or Republican or independent. Like, whatever laws are going to pass, they're going to pass at the end of the day. And I have to figure out how to vote locally and vote on a national level to best suit what I need, like healthcare, education, housing, et cetera, et cetera. Like, it really is a case-by-case basis, and I think that's something that's getting lost here in this whole firestorm, because Kanye does have such a platform, you know? Anyway, that's my two cents.
That's like another thing with the whole idea of a platform. Yeah.
We all have platforms.
Like, some more important than others. But to think... where people are kind of like, Kanye, censor yourself, or don't do this, don't do that, because your voice holds weight now. And it's like, when do I get to be who I am?
Right.
When do I get to do that? I just think that's crazy and interesting. But I'm going to move into my crazy segment on Kanye. So I'm choosing more to focus on his interview with Charlamagne Tha God. I know, like, the whole TMZ fiasco, and I'm not even gonna lie to you guys, this whole episode is just breaking my whole heart. I have loved Kanye West since the moment he spit his soul through the wire. However, I fear we are now at the point in our Marvel comic story where our hero is the one that needs the saving. So what exactly happens when you turn from T'Challa to Killmonger? I mean, he was telling us George Bush hated black people, and now he's with the dude who really hates black people. Oh, Lord. So there has been some outlandish and outstanding comments said and done by Kanye, and it seems that behind the wall of greatness is a man who truly cares far too much about what people think of him. And rather than us easing up on the bullying, we are going harder than ever. In one of his TMZ interviews, he decided to start speaking to the TMZ staffer about how he was addicted to opioids because he was worried people would call him fat. And watching that clip, it just, I don't even, this is where my secondhand embarrassment really came from. And he said he was so worried, he got liposuction and he ended up taking opioids and he got addicted to them because of the liposuction. And he only got lipo because everybody called Rob, Kim Kardashian's brother, fat, and they made fun of his weight in the media. So he got so embarrassed and scared that he left their wedding before they even said, I do. And it appears that Kanye's wedding has been a great point of contention in much of his life. In an interview with Charlamagne Tha God, Kanye admitted that Jay-Z and Beyonce not attending his wedding greatly offended him. He said that they were probably going through their own things, but he can't help the feeling that it did. He can't help the feeling that it did hurt his feelings that they didn't attend.
Yeah, that's real. That's supposed to be your friend.
And now he talks about, yeah, and now he talks about Rob not staying through the vows because of the constant remarks about his weight. And so I think in the, I think what we tend to get is the sound bites of Kanye, where we have to look more at Kanye in context. From our, we miss the old Kanye, top of the soul Kanye. Kanye then had his mom. Kanye had that vessel to speak his mind to and essentially be like, hey, you know, I'm going through something. What do you think about this idea, this, that, and the third? Losing her, gaining Kim, and then as soon as he gets Kim, everyone is like, oh, she's a hoe, she's a slut, she did porn and all of the stuff. And saying all of that, it's like, I love this woman. Can y'all just back the fuck up? Goes into a wedding and you keep it a small venue. You keep it to a few people. And the person that you look at as your idol and your best friend and like the only other person you have now that your mom is gone. Well, not even the only other person because he has his family. But somebody who you consider...
He does not be talking to... I feel like he probably not talking to his family like that.
No, he said that in the interview. He said that he's... he brings out a lot more his family now. He says, I try to move them as close to me as possible. He goes, he said he had a cousin in like Florida. He moved them up to where he is. Even on the Celebrity Family Feud, he really wanted to be on it. He brought his actual family members to be on Family Feud against the Kardashians. He's doing a lot more. He's constantly looking for people to be surrounded by that he can trust. And with the whole Jay-Z and Beyonce thing not showing up. And now when you look at it in hindsight, we're all like, Jay-Z cheated. And that's probably at the same point. And like, Beyonce wasn't having none of it. Craziness. It kind of feels like an attack. Like, imagine your best friend not showing up to your fucking wedding. And it's not even a wedding that you went and said, I'm going to make this big, crazy, lavish. Everybody's coming. It was, I'm marrying the girl of my dreams, and, like, I stood up for your wife, and I make sure that y'all are okay, because y'all are, like, my family, and y'all couldn't even show up, and then you turn around, and then Rob leaves early, because the media is making fun of him, and it's just a whole lot of things where, if you're dealing with somebody like Kanye, who is very, I don't even want to say narcissistic, because I don't really know the man, but somebody who takes shit to heart and takes things very personally, all of that can seem like you guys don't love me. And that can, and people will do a lot of crazy things to get folks to love them. So I think Kanye is an emotional and sensitive person, and that is not to be used in the negative, especially since he is a black man. The same man and the same men who we constantly demand to be more vulnerable and emotionally aware, yet somehow we take jabs at the minute that they do. And I just want to talk about a few things Kanye said in the past few days and weeks and try to essentially give my perspective on all this drama. Despite how you believe it is a publicity stunt, the ramblings of a lunatic, or a new coming of Kanye, it is unequivocally human. Directing my attention again back to the Charlamagne interview, I have found that there are a few things about Kanye's responses that are both sad and scary. To see someone unfold with so much vulnerability was really heart-wrenching for me, and y'all know I'm a thug, so this is a major point of strife. You know, we gutted out here. But people, I think, get upset that Kanye talks about being the greatest, and when we're constantly seeing him do shit that we're like, yo, this is abnormal. And then he's like, I'm a genius. I'm the greatest. I'm this. I'm that. It's like, who cares? Like, who cares? If he wants to be the greatest in his mind, let him be. Who cares? And so I was thinking about this when he was saying this in the interview. In reality, aren't you supposed to feel that way about all the work you produce? Like, you're supposed to give your best work. You give your project your greatest energy, and that's when you produce it. So failure seems like a direct attack. So with Kanye, when he's talking about, I'm the greatest, I'm a genius, and I'm producing this crazy amount of work, anytime that we say anything against Kanye, and it's not even, you have to understand, it's not only in the music perspective. Like, we have to take Kanye as Kanye the artist. The man does clothes, the man makes music, the man runs business and industry and produces and does all these things. So when he says, I'm producing something, I'm giving the world something, a piece of Kanye, anything we say against it is a direct attack against Kanye. Mm-hmm. And personally, me, when I write, I tend to think more in the space of, I have a muse. Where the vessel is, I am the vessel in which the art is coming through, but it's not mine. My muse, my brain, my something in me created it. And now that I've given it to the world, however you interpret it is however you interpret it. I only know it to be, I only know my truth. And I don't feel a direct attack when other people don't like my truth. And I don't think that Kanye works that way. But all in all, I would hope, well, I just don't think that artists say to themselves, you know, like, I'm going to make this great work, but I'm going to be just a little bit under like Prince or Michael Jackson or Michelangelo, you know, not, I want to be great, but not too great. I don't think people work that way. I think that we all strive for greatness and we try to produce our best work, and it is what we have. I'm not going to care to get my panties in a bunch because Kanye West thinks he's great. Because at the end of the day, we live in a world of comparisons. People are going to compare your work to others. And yes, here comes some more Hamilton. The world is wide enough for greatness to exist in not solely one vessel. The world is wide enough, people. It just, like, jumping at him and screaming at him for everything is just completely pointless to me. And I think that all in all, I just feel as though we have enough time to commit to trying to prove how, we have spent enough time trying to prove how ungreat Kanye is. And it's just not true. The man's great. And I hope that people take into themselves to focus on their own greatness. And I don't want to, and I'm not, do not misconstrue what I'm saying. I am not saying give Kanye the reason for why you're focusing on your greatness. I'm just saying that as a point of contention, what some people were like bringing up in the interview, they were like, he thinks he's great. He thinks he's a genius. Who gives a fuck? He's an artist. He's supposed to think he's great. Like, that's his job. On another part of Kanye in this interview, his lack of historical knowledge is terrifying. Yes, I know, we said this. So I remember when Kendrick had said some head-ass shit, like, we're all one race, we're all the human race, and the internet clapped back on his ignorant ass, and the next thing you know, Kendrick got educated and gave us To Pimp a Butterfly. So I need Kanye, you know, to get conscious. I know that is, like, a slow and painful process, especially for the outspoken but boxed in. But you have to do it for yourself, Kanye. If you ever listen to this podcast, you have to do it for yourself, boo. And there's another thing I loved. Oh my God. You know, this Kanye West has brought out all the coon people that I've been like, I'm actually agreeing with them. Charlamagne and Don Lemon. Now, you know that's a reach. That's a reach. So, I love what Don Lemon said. He spoke directly by saying that Kanye talks of speaking in the future and giving focus to the future, but it just doesn't add up. Because when you talk about supporting a campaign that directly says, make America great again, you inherently have to be looking at the past, which Trump is doing. So Kanye, explain yourself. Explain. Because you say, oh, I don't want to be mentally enslaved. Oh, I don't want to look at the past. Oh, I don't want Harry Tubman on a $20 bill because it reminds me of slavery. And I don't want to be reminded of slavery anymore. I want to move past this. Yet, what's making America great again? All in all, I just wish that Kanye wasn't a college dropout. Like when Steve Jobs or Mark Zuckerberg and was it Bill Gates? Might have been Bill Gates. Is that? But did they drop out of college?
Steve Jobs didn't go to college, I don't think. Mark Zuckerberg, He dropped out.
Anyway, yeah, I don't know. Three rich white dudes that we know were all non-college graduates, and their whiteness allowed them to still move through space unbothered in their brilliance. Sorry, Kanye, that's not how it works for you. Kanye said, and I struggle with this quote, he said, certain icons are just too far in the past and not relatable, and that's what makes them safe. Mm. And while this may be true, Kanye, your iconoclasm is a direct opposition of the progression of the future you so desperately want to not be a mimicry of the past. It's not that Kanye doesn't want to know. It's not that Kanye doesn't want to be educated, because even he was speaking with Van and Van was telling him off. And I think that if we don't take the care and consideration to say in a way that isn't demoralizing or demeaning or degrading to him, if we don't take the care to say, you should read this book, we can say, go read a book. No, you should say, you need to read this book. You need to understand this point. If you look at any like AP history, I'm going to say like AP and advanced history. If you look at those courses, those textbooks aren't telling you about Nat Turner. You're not hearing the name Nat Turner until fucking college. And how many people have real access to college with the cost that it is? Right. If you're white, you don't need to know who Nat Turner is, because you exist in a space that is unbothered. Mm-hmm. Black people, they need access to it. And so in conclusion, Kanye, I love you, but you're rich enough to get a therapist. Go get one. Fuck all that just talking to people that you're saying that you're doing. You know, you need therapy. Mm-hmm. You are Kanye West, and no one can be trusted to say things that you need to hear with care and nuance that your mother used to provide. And I'm not sure therapists can either, but it's worth a shot, my guy. And for the rest of y'all, say what you want about Charlamagne. He recommends that Kanye take some fashion advice when he speaks. Measure twice, cut once. And throughout this interview, Kanye is always open about the fact that he speaks with just the ideas that come to him in an unedited stream of consciousness. As a heavily watched celebrity, doing that is a surefire way to become merely a soundbite that people can rant, yell, and rave about without requesting an ounce of nuance. And as some random person in the comment section through all these videos and mess of Kanye said, and their name, I'm going to give them credit here, Noelle Hausler, they said this, Kanye, you are not being attacked for having ideas, just uninformed ideas, such as slavery was a choice.
Oh, I'm so sad. Everything about this is just like really sad. And there's like a lot to unpack here, and you guys have done a really good job. I should have watched that interview. Daphne put it in the document, and I was like, I couldn't do it. I wanted to, but the more and more I was talking about it, and the more and more I was like reading through his Wikipedia, I couldn't even get through his whole Wikipedia page the other day. like, I just got sad, and I barely scratched the surface. I was just like, this is just so disheartening. On a slightly lighter note, I am really, really missing the website Gawker right now. If ever there was a time that we needed people who love to watch the world burn, it's right now. My ex and I would read Gawker articles a lot, and he would read them out loud to me, and we would just get a kick out of the writing style. And it was so great because it was humorously detailing events that we so desperately wished weren't actually happening in the world. However, I have now discovered Vice, and Vice is doing, I mean, not just now discovered, but I've just now decided that Vice can be a replacement for my Gawker needs. Yeah. The writing is like a little less acidic, which, like, there are far less dude bros that write for Vice than there were who wrote for Gawker, I think. But it's still, like, good. And I went to Vice and I searched Kanye, and it came up with 14 pages of results, because we've been talking about Kanye for years. We've watched his career. We've watched him lose his mom. We watched him disappear. We watched him lose his best friend. We watched him marry Kim. We watched him create clothes that have holes in it that he charges $1,000 for. Like, everyone is aware of Kanye. This is nothing new. We're not dealing with anything new here. For me personally, it's been interesting to follow his career. I guess it was in the spring. I'm kind of going to give you guys a little bit of a summary here. In the spring of 2010, I was introduced to this guy named Charlie. And Charlie is a West Coast dude. He's really funny. At the time, we were young, and it was like a long-distance crush type thing. But he made me a mixtape, quote-unquote. It was 2010. A playlist. Woo! He made me a playlist. And on it included Kanye's song Power. And I, at some point, like, in our friendship, he made this mixtape. And I was like, man, Kanye West, this is, like, really smart writing, really good lyrics. I like the beat. I don't really know if I, like, understand it, but I was like, okay, cool. So I purchased, one of my very first iTunes purchases was 808s and Heartbreaks.
I hated that album.
I love that album.
I'm the only person that hated 808s and Heartbreaks and loved everything else.
I think that's correct. Yeah.
Yeah, I literally was like, I can do without this.
Right. But for me, it was like a nice way to dip my toe into hip hop, because it wasn't like N.W.A., Biggie, Tupac, like, you know, it was like a nice, gentle, there's some drum pads, a little bit of electronica. I mean, if you just think about the track list, I was going through it yesterday and I was like, oh my gosh, I need to re-listen to it ASAP. You have Love Lockdown, and then you also have In the Night I Hear a Call, Great Story Ever Told, Somewhere Far Along the Way, Lost Soul.
But y'all just gonna act like my man didn't come out with My Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy.
No. I'm not gonna act like he did. Ding. No, I'm not gonna act like Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy is not great. It's my boyfriend's favorite album, and my friend Izzy, his favorite album.
It's an amazing.
And it's amazing to hear people talk about it, because I honestly don't think I've listened to it the whole way through. I know a few of the songs, of course, but like, it is definitely different. And it's good, and it's fresh, and it's innovative. And I think Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy will definitely stand the test of time, whereas 808s and Heartbreaks was a good album, you know, in my opinion. So, yeah, Stephanie, I hear what you're saying. Right then and there, 808s and Heartbreaks, I was like, all right, Kanye is a good dude. He doesn't seem to be stirring up too much. This was, of course, back in 2010. Doesn't seem to be stirring up too much right now. I can roll with this. So what happened? And Daphne and I were discussing this the other day, and we've each touched on this already today, but like, what Kanye is going through now is so incredibly human. We have all gone through these emotions. He lost his mom. He lost his best friend, whose wife he publicly defended and made an ass out of himself doing it. But he believed in what he was saying and he went for it. And I think that's admirable. How many times can we honestly say that we've done that? Like,
I think
on a large scale, you know?
I think too, at one point in the interview, he says he apologized for a lot. Mm. Like, when you watch that interview, he says, oh, I shouldn't have said that, or I shouldn't have worded it that way.
Sure.
Or it comes off as negative, or I'm not stating that in the proper hierarchy, or I didn't actually have the facts to say that. And I think that people forget that celebrities are humans. Right. They don't have all the answers. And you can personally think, like, how many times have you said something or done something and you're like, that came out wrong. Right. Or, oh, I shouldn't have said that. And people are like, well, you're Kanye West. You should know better.
How would he know? Like, how would he know better?
How am I supposed to, what do you want me to do?
Exactly.
Not be human?
And I think a lot of it is he's looking for that fulfillment, but people know him. The three of us, how many times have we sat in bed and just been like, all right, I need to figure this out. There's something missing. I need to do it. I need to do X, Y, Z so I can get to A, B, C. We've all done it. Kanye just happens to be a billionaire and is under more scrutiny. And I actually asked my friend Charlie, I texted him yesterday and I was like, hey, thinking about you this week because of all this Kanye stuff. And he was like, I was wondering if you had anything to say. And he was like, oh, of course I do. And he sent me like this Twitter thread that he had been a part of. But something that he said to me that stood out was this. And this is a quote from my friend Charlie. I'll defend anyone on the grounds that they fallibly seek open-ended improvements of ideas. And yes, I think he's sincerely trying to do that. That said, it isn't surprising that he makes big mistakes along the way. And I was like, duh. Like, of course. And I don't know why people aren't getting that. Like, I don't get it. I don't understand. And I think I know that I relate to that a lot. Like, I personally have come a long way from, quote, not wanting to say anything about Trayvon Martin being gunned down in the street, to now trying to actively dismantle white supremacy on my Facebook timeline with facts and emojis and a lot of yelling and language that people don't like. Because I have grown in the last, 6 years of my life. Like, I have learned things. I've encountered more of Black culture. I've taken apart piece by piece the stereotypes that I have held about Black people and the stereotypes I have held about Black culture and Black music and hip hop and Kanye. Like, we're all learning and we're all growing, and I think we all have that desire to do that. And Kanye is doing that. He's just doing it on Twitter. Do we not all do this? How many times have I tweeted dumb shit on Twitter and been like, oh, this is me just working through this problem, so I'm going to tweet about it. And have gotten no likes, no replies, no retweets.
And no one cares.
No one cares.
And I think it's also crazy, too, because remember that, I think he's a basketball player for, like, Duke or something. Either way, he put up, like, 32 points or something. Like, really great accomplishment, all of the stuff. And then people dug through his, like, Twitter feed from, like, from when he was like 14 or 15, and it was like him saying like the F word, not fuck, but the other word, him saying the F word, him saying the N word, I could say that, him saying nigga. Yeah, I was like, wait a minute.
I like the N word. All right, come on, sis.
Listen.
I've heard you say that word a few times.
We have to code switch, and sometimes our programming gets a little.
We get our wires crossed.
You know what I'm talking to the white people. I can't say the N word because then they're gonna feel too comfortable. But like, you know, you gotta switch it up. Anyway, he was just out here saying some crazy shit when he was like 14 or 15. All of a sudden, they pulled these tweets, and all he could say was, "I don't remember those." You don't.
Like, I have.
Like, the reality is, I don't remember the shit I said when I was 14.
But it was on your Twitter.
I said some dumb, wild shit. And if anybody ever brings it up, I'm going to be like, that was me in another life.
I have that.
Like, granted, I'm going to, like, I'll take responsibility for it. Like, I clearly, I'm the one that did it. But, like, I don't, that was me in another life.
I have the Time Hop app on my phone, and I look at it every day, and every day I just cringe at 8 years ago Star, where she's like, ugh, sad Coldplay quote as a Facebook status, or like, I'm tweeting because I'm angry at a boy who doesn't even know my name or know that I exist. Like, if we all do it and we all work through our issues different ways. I don't know if Kanye is an extrovert or an introvert, but if I had to guess, he's an extrovert because I'm the same way. Like, I tweeted stuff a few days ago that I'm probably now just thinking about, like, why did I say that out loud? Like, this is dumb. But I think we, especially, and I hate that I'm qualifying this, but especially us Black people, we have to give him room to question and learn and grow. Because based on what you guys are saying about his interview, it sounds like he wants to. It's not like he's just out here putting things to the ether and walking away. It sounds like he is thinking things through actively. And like he said, like, it's just a stream of conscious, so he's writing it down. Kanye, maybe you should get a journal. Get a nice, like, Louis Vuitton gold leafed $13,000 journal and write it down. Maybe don't do it on Twitter, but like, I don't know. It was just so frustrating.
Even in that interview, I swear. Just to let you guys know, the interview is like 1 hour and 45 minutes, so you really need to dedicate some time to watching this interview. But even at one point, Charlamagne finally says, "Yeah, I know you support Trump and all that, but I know damn well your mother would not support him."
Right.
And Kanye West literally, like, stopped. Like, you can just tell his whole being shut down because that was just a thought that never crossed his mind. Like, what would my mom be saying about the person that I'm supporting? And after a few moments of, like, reflection and time, he goes, "Well, I don't have to agree with everything my mom would have said or done." And it's like, yo, people, he is in a state where, like, he's somebody that needs people to be genuine and honest with him and talk to him. Like, I think even Van shocked me when he was like, "Listen, brother, I don't know what you're talking about, and you're over here talking that rich nigga shit, and you are causing a problem." And I was like, oh my God, somebody is saying it to him. Thank God. And I was so happy that it was also another Black man. Mm-hmm. I was like, oh, thank God, because I know Van loves Kanye, hands down. I know Black people love Kanye, and at the end of the day, regardless of what Black people want to say or do about him, Kanye is like our crazy cousin who we're all like, God damn, can you just shut the hell up? But when we invite people or they go outside and people say shit about them, we're all like, I will fuck you up if you ever say anything about him. Like, you will get these cans real quick because that's blood. And I think even Kanye knows that about Kanye, where we look at him like, boy, we want to wring your neck, but we ain't gonna let that happen to you.
Okay, one last thing. I was browsing those Vice articles, and I came up with, I found one that was great from July 22nd, 2016. What Republicans think of Kanye West. Oh, yeah. This is written by Wilbert L. Cooper. He spent a few days at the Republican National Convention. Huh. Okay. I only got through the first few because they're all hilarious. But the one that stood out to me was this white gentleman named Matthew McAuliffe from Ohio. He's like wearing a Republican hat. He's got his little suit jacket, his little lanyard on, and his little round horn glasses. And the interviewer says, "Got any thoughts on Kanye West?" And this is Matthew McAuliffe's response. "I'm too old to know Kanye West. I'm more of an East Coast rap guy. That's a joke. But honest to God, I have no opinion on him. Everyone tells me he's talented, but I'm kind of like, whatever. And then the interviewer says, he said he wants to run for president in 2020. What do you think about the idea of a rap artist becoming a presidential nominee? Our friend Matthew replies with, we have a guy who sold steaks and bad wine who is running for president right now. And the interviewer says, he has made some political statements in the past. Matthew McAuliffe. Yeah, after Hurricane Katrina, I think that was a ridiculous, uninformed statement. What's so ridiculous about it? And Matthew said, what fact did he have to back that up other than emotion? There was no fact. It was pure emotion. And that, I was like...
The fact that all the black people was left to die?
I think it's the assumption of under-education. Honestly, in this case, I don't know about like all white people, whatever. But like, I think based on where this interviewer was, he's at the Republican National Convention. He's asking a bunch of white people what they think about Kanye West. This white dude says, what fact did he have to back it up? Implying that Kanye did not do research under education. Other than emotion, implying that black people are overly emotional when it comes to ideas of race. There was no fact, it was pure emotion. He's just assuming that Kanye West didn't know how to Google something and was not watching the news. Which, we all know, damn well, he was watching the news because that is why he said it. So it's just like this whole, the assumption of Kanye as a whole. He has publicly said he doesn't read books. So we can look at that face value, sure, under education. However, sometimes becoming educated means having conversations, not picking up a book or not Googling things. Like,
oh man, those white people, won't they do it?
They do it. So the interviewer asked this Matthew guy, do you think Kanye communicates with purpose? Matthew said, I don't know. I don't watch E. I would say in 2005, he communicated with emotion rather than purpose, but he's provocative and he's doing exactly what he wants to do and gets a reaction out of people.
It's provocative. Gets the people going.
Oh, and then Jim Miller from Wisconsin, his answer is very short and sweet. He's wearing a cheese hat, by the way. The question is, what do you think of Ye? He said, I like Kanye. My favorite Kanye West song is Gold Digger. It's on my playlist when I'm working out.
Because white people love screaming the word nigga during that song. Because the only time they... I kid you not. White people love Gold Digger because they... I've been in a room where I've been the only black person. Gold Digger came on. White people literally jumped out of their fucking seats, rapping the shit as loud as they could. And when it finally got to the part to say nigga, they all yelled it and said it. Except for like the five white people who were literally next to me who did like the huge side eyes like, oh shit, there's a black in the room.
There's a black in the room.
And I was like, wow. Wow. White people, won't they do it? White people. Oh, white people.
Yeah. So I'm gonna include this article just for kicks and giggles because it's funny. Because a black guy is asking humorous. All these white people what they think of Kanye, and I just am getting the secondhand cringing that they're doing. So we'll put it in the episode description. Anyway, those are all my thoughts on Kanye, and I'm going to go listen to Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy now. So I'm sad. Bless. And cry.
Okay, so for like the black business that I would like to talk about, I actually seen this little girl on Shark Tank. So she used her grandma's old flaxseed recipes to make like a flaxseed lemonade type thing. And it's called Mina Bees. Her name is... a company that is owned and operated by Michaela, a 13-year-old businesswoman. So at the moment, right now, you can find her lemonade at Whole Foods on the Eastern Seaboard. But they're planning to expand very soon. And it was funny because, like, after seeing her, like, her project on Shark Tank, right? A lot of NFL players from all these different teams, they decided that they were, like, donate the money to, like, so she could have enough capital to actually, like, get her business off the ground. So they donated, like, close to $800,000 to her business. And, like, now, I recently was able to get up to Whole Foods to try to eliminate it. Yeah, it's really amazing.
Our Whole Foods is opening, oh gosh, I hope it's soon, so I'm definitely going to check it out because I love lemonade. All right, so be sure to catch us next week with new content, commentary, and I'm sure some celebrity gossip and hot mess. Episodes are posted each Tuesday at 7 p.m. And in closing, Taylor Swift and her white feminism is garbage. Bye.
Fuck Taylor Swift.
Get out.
Fuck Taylor Swift.
Get out. You know I love Taylor Swift.
Bye, everybody.
All right, bye, guys.